Chapter 48. Rachel Sexton felt a growing chill inside as she moved down the ice sheet into the deepening night. Disquieting images swirled in her mind. The meteorite, the phosphorescent plankton, the implications if Nora Manger had made a mistake with the ice cores. A solid matrix of freshwater ice, Nora had argued, reminding them all that she had drilled cores all around the area as well as directly over the meteorite. If the glacier contained saltwater interstices filled with plankton, she would have seen them, wouldn't she? Nonetheless, Rachel's intuition kept returning to the simplest solution. There are plankton frozen in this glacier. 10 minutes and 4 flares later, Rachel and the others were approximately 250 yards from the habosphere. Without warning, Nora stopped short. "This is the spot," she said, sounding like a water witch diviner who had mystically sensed the perfect spot to drill a well. Rachel turned and glanced up the slope behind them. The habosphere had long since disappeared into the dim, moonlit night, but the line of flares was clearly visible, the farthest one twinkling reassuringly like a faint star. The flares were in a perfect straight line, like a carefully calculated runway. Rachel was impressed with Nora's skills. "Another reason we let the sled go first," Nora called out when she saw Rachel admiring the line of flares. "The runners are straight. If we let gravity lead the sled and we don't interfere, we're guaranteed to travel in a straight line."
"Neat trick," Tolan yelled. "Wish there was something like that for the open sea."
This is the open sea, Rachel thought, picturing the ocean beneath them. For a split second, the most distant flame caught her attention. It had disappeared, as if the light had been blotted out by a passing form. A moment later, though, the light reappeared. Rachel felt a sudden uneasiness.
"Nora," she yelled over the wind, "did you say there were polar bears up here?"
The glaciologist was preparing a final flare and either didn't hear or was ignoring her.
"Polar bears," Tolland yelled, "eat seals. They only attack human beings when we invade their space."
"But this is polar bear country, right?"
Rachel could never remember which pole had bears and which had penguins.
"Yeah," Tolland shouted back. "Polar bears actually give the Arctic its name. Arctos is Greek for bear."
"Terrific." Rachel gazed nervously into the dark.
"Antarctica has no polar bears," Tolland said, "so they call it Anti-Arctos."
"Thanks, Mike," Rachel yelled. "Enough talk of polar bears."
He laughed.
"Right, sorry."
Nora pressed a final flare into the snow. As before, the four of them were engulfed in a reddish glow, looking bloated in their black weather suits. Beyond the circle of light emanating from the flare, the rest of the world became totally invisible, a circular shroud of blackness engulfing them. As Rachel and the others looked on, Nora planted her feet and used careful overhand motions to reel the sled several yards back up the slope to where they were standing. Then, keeping the rope taut, she crouched and manually activated the sled's talon brakes, 4 angled spikes that dug into the ice to keep the sled stationary. That done, she stood up and brushed herself off, the rope around her waist falling slack.
"All right," Nora shouted. "Time to go to work."
The glaciologist circled to the downwind end of the sled and began unfastening the butterfly eyelets holding the protective canvas over the gear. Rachel, feeling like she had been a little hard on Nora, moved to help by unfastening the rear of the flap.
"Jesus, no!" Nora yelled, her head snapping up. "Don't ever do that!"
Rachel recoiled, confused.
"Never unfasten the upwind side," Nora said. "You'll create a windsock. This sled would have taken off like an umbrella in a wind tunnel."
Rachel backed off.
"I'm sorry, I..."
She glared.
"You and Space Boy shouldn't be out here."
"None of us should," Rachel thought.